It's a new day for every American. Start today right by getting facts and only facts at deannewman.org. Want the truth about today's important matters? Truth coming up. Here's Dan.
And do we have a lot of truth to talk to you about today? Hello, everyone, and welcome to deannewman.org. Let me first apologize to you for those of you that were expecting a podcast on Sunday, Mother's Day. I had plenty to talk about, but I thought, you know what? Mother's Day is a special time of year. It's very individual, very private, and I thought I would leave it private for everyone. Celebrate with your mom. Personally, for me, it's a tough time of year. I lost my mom to Alzheimer's about 10 years ago. Blessed to have her, and we really miss her. I know those of you who have lost moms and grandmothers, you feel the same way I do. I just hope you celebrated your mother, whether she's gone on or whether she's still with you, and had a great Sunday. But you know what? Things kept happening during Mother's Day. The world did not stop revolving, and boy, things did not stop happening in the world of politics in Washington, D.C., in state houses around the country, and of course, all around the world. And please make a note before we start today's story. It is really significant. It is pulling together some very significant facts that have been bandied around the internet, around network broadcast, radio talk shows, television talk shows, for actually a couple of years now, a lot of this. And so I thought it's time to pull it all together with factual information. You'll probably want to share this broadcast. You can download it, of course, no charge, and share it with other people. So let's get right to it. And I'm going to tell you, today's title is Clinton Foundation Scandals. Folks, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is factual information. So here we go. First of all, a disclaimer. It is noteworthy to mention, before we get started, there is a story floating around for years, on the internet especially, that the Clinton Foundation was investigated for mishandling tax-free donations to the foundation made by foreign countries back in the early 2000s. That is not true. The Clinton Foundation was not established at that time, and there was an investigation. The focus wasn't into contributions made by foreign governments, however. It was about Bill Clinton's 11th hour pardon as president of Mark Rich, an international businessman who fled the country in 1983 amid charges that he owed $48 million in back taxes. Rich reportedly steered millions of dollars to causes championed by the Clintons and fellow Democrats. That was before the Clinton Foundation was established. That led to accusations from an unidentified informant that Clinton pardoned Rich in exchange for financial support. And this was a real investigation. Guess who took over this investigation in 2002? Rumor is that James Comey, as the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, handled that investigation into Clinton wrongdoing. Comey, however, was at the Southern District of New York in 2002-2003, but David Kelly was in charge of this specific investigation. The rumor that has been floating around was that Comey, in some type of quid pro quo situation, declined to prosecute Clinton for these allegations. However, the decision to not prosecute the former president did not occur until 2 years after Comey left the Southern District of New York. However, this is where the rumors stop, folks. What we have next is factual information. Let's get started. Remember that tax-exempt branch of the IRS and the scandal during the Obama administration that this division refused to approve 501c3 tax-exempt applications submitted by dozens of tax-free organizations? That was acknowledged by the IRS to be true. During the lifetime of the investigation, the IRS approved just one such application. Guess who was head of the Internal Revenue Service tax exemption branch of the IRS? The famous Lois Lerner. Just coincidence, right? Guess who ran the tax division inside the Department of Justice from 2001 to 2005? Now, keep these timelines in mind while we're having this conversation. Who was it? Assistant Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein. Guess who was the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation during this time? Just coincidence, an anomaly in statistics and chances, Robert Mueller. What do these cast of characters have in common? Well, they were all indelibly affiliated with, associated with, consulted with, and supposedly investigated the Clinton Foundation at some point. I know you get the connection between the foundation and Comey, Rosenstein, and Mueller. Well, but what about Lois Lerner? Here's something I bet you didn't know. 6 years before Lois Lerner became the central figure in the IRS's illegal targeting of Tea Party tax-exempt applicants, Lois Lerner cleared the way for the Clinton Foundation's transformation from simply building a presidential library to being that $2 billion global political influence peddling machine, according to documents obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation's investigative group. She helped accomplish this feat through a 2007 letter on two legal issues of such magnitude, it's unlikely the Clinton nonprofit could have become what it is 20 years after its creation. Another coincidence, right? Okay, let's chalk that last one up to mere chance. Fast forward to 2009. James Comey leaves the Justice Department to go and cash in at Lockheed Martin. Hillary Clinton is running the State Department using her personal server. You remember that. The Uranium One issue came to the attention of Hillary. Although she did not vote on the committee staffed by various government department representatives, and there's no record of her weighing in publicly on any effort to push approval of that sale, she did not speak out against it, even though there were extremely simple and very obvious reasons to not sell 20% of U.S. uranium to none other than the Russians. The leftist media and Democrats all diligently work still to convince Americans this was a straight-up deal, except it wasn't. Nobody said this, but the people, that's you and me, got absolutely nothing out of the deal. But who did? Prior to the sale approval, notice a timeline, Bill Clinton went to Moscow, was paid $500,000 for a one-hour speech, then met with Vladimir Putin at his home for a couple of hours. 500 grand, folks. 1 hour, $500,000 to speak. Not the typical, in any way, Bill Clinton fee for making speeches. There's one more part of the Uranium One deal that was covered up until recent fine reporting by investigative reporter Sarah Carter. That part? The FBI had a mole inside the discreet and secret money laundering and bribery scheme that played out in the Uranium One sale that poured big dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And guess what happened to the informant, the mole? The Department of Justice placed a gag order on him and threatened to lock him up if he spoke out about it. Now, he's a mole for the FBI. He's in the middle of the Uranium One deal. And the Department of Justice, who is supposed to be protecting us from deals like this, the one guy that has the truth, that knows it all, they put a gag order on him, and they threaten to lock him up if he even speaks about any of that deal. I forgot to mention, FBI director during this time, Robert Mueller. Mueller reportedly even delivered a uranium sample to Moscow in 2009. Incidentally, when that Uranium One deal started being looked at by the Justice Department. You know who was handling that case within the DOJ from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland? Rod Rosenstein. So, on the Mueller and Rosenstein watch, 20% of U.S. uranium was surreptitiously sold to a Canadian company and then immediately flipped to a Russian company. By the way, the Russian company was controlled by Vladimir Putin. There had to be something dramatic in this deal for the Clinton Foundation, you think? There was $145 million in quote-unquote donations made their way into the Clinton Foundation from entities and individuals directly connected to the Uranium One deal. $145 million. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Guess who was still at the Internal Revenue Service working the charitable division at this time? Lois Lerner. Hey, there is so much more to this. This is going to blow your mind. It gets even better, folks. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come right back and tell you more. It gets better. Clinton Foundation Scandals. News and facts at dnewman.org.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
That brings back some memories. The Doobie Brothers before Michael McDonald and China Grove. Hey, thanks for joining us at dnewman.org today. It is the 15th of May, and we are talking about giving you information and timeline that we can tie a lot of details to regarding Clinton Foundation scandal. We talked about the early years. Let's fast forward now to 2015, when Clinton ironies continued. Remember this? Trey Gowdy, who was running the investigation as chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, discovered that Hillary Clinton was using a private server, unclassified, unauthorized, and not any internet security in any way. Gowdy also found out that none of those emails from that server had been turned over to the State Department when she departed her public service as Secretary of State, which was required by law. Never turned them over, not one. Even though Comey's FBI investigation unearthed numerous infractions by Clinton, several which violated federal criminal statutes, to this day, there has been no prosecution of Hillary for these violations, no prosecution of anyone in the Clinton campaign whatsoever. We are told the Trump Department of Justice has reopened its investigation of the Clinton Foundation for the misuse and the danger caused by this email server's use during Hillary Clinton's stay as Secretary of State. By the way, forgot to mention this to you, just before leaving his vice president position at Lockheed Martin Corporation, James Comey secured Lockheed Martin 17 U.S. State Department no-bid contracts. Nobody could bid against it. They were just handed out to Lockheed Martin. That was when Hillary was Obama's Secretary of State. Comey was recommended by FBI Director Robert Mueller to replace him as FBI Director. That happened in 2013. We backed up a couple of years here to get this information in. As FBI Director, Comey first exonerated Lois Lerner in the not-for-profit application scandal case, even though the IRS and President Obama, he also admitted, along with the IRS, their wrongdoing in the matter. Comey famously then exonerated Hillary for her wrongdoing in Emailgate just prior to the 2016 presidential election. Without belaboring the email issue, numerous federal prosecutors, in spite of Comey's press conference statement, remember this one, that no reasonable prosecutor would recommend pursuing this case? These prosecutors loudly proclaim Hillary's federal violation should have at least resulted in a grand jury investigation. She was not put under oath. They did not record her interview with the FBI, and they exonerated her assistant director of the campaign, who also was in the meeting as her attorney. They gave her immunity. Why would they give the lawyer immunity if there was ever going to be any realistic communication, conversation, interview with Hillary Clinton? None of it makes sense. The actions of all these players has just continued in spite of Comey's firing. Rosenstein was named deputy AG because Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from everything to do with the 2016 campaign because of his work in the Trump campaign. Rosenstein, as deputy AG, appointed Mueller as special counsel to examine Russian election collusion with the Trump campaign. The president then fired Comey as FBI director, primarily due to a letter written to the president by Rosenstein. So Rosenstein recommends that Trump fire Comey. Mueller sat on the couch in the Oval Office requesting to be considered as the FBI director. The president turned him down, and the next day, Rosenstein appoints Mueller a special counsel to investigate the president. That's unbelievable. It appears now as just minute details of Mueller's investigation over the last year that his investigation, at least in part, is to provide cover for decades of possible malfeasance within the FBI and the Department of Justice. Results and details are still to come. You can bet there's a whole lot more out there, a whole lot of evidence, and probably a whole lot of more wrongdoing that we don't know about. This began as a political soap opera. It continues as one, and all the same players. They're all running around screaming and hollering. All of them are compromised. They are all conflicted. They all have conflict of interest in everything going on in these investigations. All are working fervently, by the way, to not go to jail themselves. Listen to this. All are connected in one way or another to Bill and Hillary Clinton. Back to the Clinton Foundation. As of this writing, the Clinton Foundation, in its 20-plus years of operations of being the largest international charity in the history of mankind, has never been audited by the Internal Revenue. Think about that. One contribution bundle reported to be $145 million. Folks, when you give a few thousand dollars to your favorite church and deduct those from your tax return, you can book it. You're going to be audited. They have not been audited, and one bundle of contributions, $145 million. It's probably not happenstance that Comey's brother works for DLA Piper, which is the law firm that does the Clinton Foundation's taxes. I know. It's supposed to be liberty and justice for all, not just the politically elite, not just Bill and Hillary Clinton. And now, Chelsea, it's supposed to be for all the rest of us. The book is still open on all this, thank God. The Department of Justice investigating again, and let's hold out and cross our fingers and hope that there is justice at the end of this, whatever that's going to be. I want to thank you for joining us today for Clinton Foundation Scandals at dnewman.org. Love to hear from you. Comments welcome. Send an email if you want to do so anonymously. Dan@dnewman.org. Dan@dnewman.org. You are free to download this podcast and any other, any story we write, and share it as you would like. Everything's free here. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Don't miss the next edition of dnewman.org. So long, everybody.